Well, there we go. We have contact. Yes. I always, I'm hesitant. And until I see those bars moving, I don't know that we're actually on. But the bars are moving. So there we go. Welcome, everybody.
Hey, y'all.
Good morning.
If only had a brain. What?
I'm just seeing if it was on.
Huh?
Just making sure it was on.
It has the O and the N.
I knew that.
Somehow I knew that. It is time to pay attention to the Word. let's talk about Jesus a little bit here, okay?
Where are you going this morning?
Well, we're probably going to go into at least three scriptures, I believe. We're going to look again, because we did in the service, at John chapter 15, just a little bit. And we're going to bounce around from that into probably Philippians 2. And I may go back, we referenced it in the service, but we didn't actually go there, to Luke 18. Because it all connects somehow in this rattle trap between my ears. It's going to connect here before we're done anyway. I hope the Lord's good.
Well, let's do it.
All righty. Let's start in John 15.
Verse 1?
No.
Is that the Gospel of John?
Hello, McFly. No.
Oh,
Phil at his top notch right there.
Been to seminary?
Way to go. Well, apparently not, huh?
He flunked out of the sandbox. That's what happened.
Hey, yeah, good. That's all I got to say. Right. Praise God.
Way to go. Okay. We didn't do much from John 15 because I ran into a couple things that didn't sound like they belonged together. But they do. Verse 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. So, this isn't the only time that John utters or pens those words or whatever utensil he used. This is not the only time that Jesus gives that command in a John epistle.
No, he actually says in 12, a few verses up, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And he's telling you what kind of love you should love one another with here.
Yeah.
And he says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
And you know,
that's a choice.
Carter, that was not Brad's initiative, that was Phil's. But
what?
No, the duh, McFly, huh? You know?
Oh, but, I get that all the time. Yeah, this is no news. You hang out with me for
it's any
time. It's
in the Bible. It really is. This is one of those things that anytime it's said more than once, especially more than once in one book, those things get my attention. Maybe this is important. Maybe this is something that I should remember out of this.
Got that right.
So, in verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. And then this is not the first time. And if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. That's why you need to love one another. And it's not, it's part of what we do for each other is part of just being around one another takes those things off of us.
And it gets our focus back on the Lord and about doing
right.
His will. And it renews us.
It's so important.
It strengthens us. And you have that example in Acts many times where they come together. They were just beaten. They were sent before the rulers. They sent them away. And then they go and they go pray and they say, Lord, fill us back up with your Spirit. And then they come together. They love one another. They've just been through a lot. And they go and they get renewed.
And that's also a command. These things have I commanded you, that you love one another. And the book of Matthew ends with Christ commanding us to preach his gospel and that the people would observe all things whatsoever he commanded us. And I'm thinking about fellowship. If I'm going to love you, I got to tune in. I need to know what's going on with you, with your house. You know? I mean, not to be nosy, but how do I know where to step in? How do I know what to pray for? How do I know if all I see you is Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, which that's a good start, but you need to be involved. For this to work, you have to be involved with each other like a family.
Well, it depends on, you know, who you're praying for, but, you know, if you're praying for me or Phil, that you could pray that, you know, Lord would make us better looking. But I'm thinking he's probably not going to answer that one.
No comment. That's one of the better bumper stickers out there. It just says no comment.
If you are of the world would love its own. Love his own. But because you're not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. Well, you know, if we look at the world today, there's something to be said for the fact that the world hates anything that has anything to do with Jesus.
That's true.
But I could also say that most of which is associated with church, you know, I don't like too much of that myself.
What do you mean?
The mass Christendom today.
Oh, okay.
Is
about like
there's some legitimate grief that some legitimate beefs the world has with the church.
And we don't do it right.
Yeah. So, you know, it may be said of them, they bring a lot of that on themselves.
Might be said of us, we bring a lot of that on ourselves too. I'm hoping that we're growing past that, but I have no doubt there's things that we don't get straight.
Well, somebody said it besides me, so that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
That's why I'm here.
Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. And like I said, that's just what I wanted to hear this morning. Right? That makes me smile.
Some of that persecution, there's the obvious at the end of Christ's life, but through his entire ministry, he was withstood by the Pharisees and the scribes.
Well, they were picking up rocks to stone him every time he opened his mouth, man.
Well, yeah, the people didn't like him sometimes either.
No, they didn't.
Why did they do that? He was an affront.
They did that because
they were offended.
The world preferred darkness rather than light, and he came with the light. He came with the truth, and it showed them that their deeds were evil. That's why.
That's right.
And we go on a little bit. I'm kind of going ahead of myself here because it goes on about that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to be about the truth, and you're going to be about Jesus, the world's going to hate you there too. You know, I mean, look, and I was just sharing with you guys not too long ago. I mean, look, I have a job where I go and I manage people. And what I want to do, the goal is to serve the customers,
right,
be a team, and work according to the line of authority that's set so everything works out as we are working as a group or a body, I should so speak. But just the natural offense of the nature of people, some people just hate it. They want to do their own thing.
Well, it's pride.
They don't like... Right.
It's always pride.
To humble yourself and do what somebody tells you to do. And it's against... I mean, just even bringing that forth can... It's offensive. Mm-hmm. And it's against... And you speak truth in those instances. I've had people very, very, very mad at me just by speaking the truth of what they are doing. And it's not what is being asked. And it's just a matter of truth. Wasn't picking on them. And quite frankly, been there.
Well,
pissed off.
Yeah,
because the light was showing on my darkness. And I was corrected. But I, you know, what you do with that is you'll repent from it and get shed of it and move on. But that's just an example of why they hated Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's...
Sometimes when you're a dirtbag, you're going to...
You're happy. Well, these guys... looking at the Jews, they had the written word of God. I mean, it really was penned by the Lord Himself. And in their minds, they were following it, and they didn't need something different because they didn't understand it. When He came along and said, no, your interpretation of the law is wrong. You're missing the weightier matters, you know, love, mercy, judgment. You're missing these things. It was an affront, particularly to the guys that were teaching this stuff.
Yeah. This whole... You all should have done and not neglect the others, I think is what he said there, right?
Yeah, these things ought you to. And he's talking about tithing and stuff. You ought to do that. Linda's got a note in there, they were offended because of the truth. And that is the truth that they were offended at. It was the
they were also offended because not about them.
Absolutely. Just like we get offended if we want to be open and honest here. Bugs us too from time to time.
In verse 20, if they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. And sometimes we're just not real diligent at doing it exactly what we're told to do.
Well, when he said, if they kept my sayings, they'll keep yours also, yeah. That's only valid if what we're saying is what he told us to say.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we talk about, particularly with the power of the gospel following you have to preach Christ's gospel.
Yeah.
Not my version of it, which I did for most of my life.
And he backs up his gospel.
He backs up
his gospel. And the thing is, these guys didn't. The guys in Acts and the apostles and the examples that we have, they went and preached the word, and the signs followed. They didn't go out to go make the signs happen. They went out to preach the gospel.
That's right. And the Lord confirmed His word with signs and wonders following.
Right.
He confirmed His word.
But all these things they will do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me.
Ouch.
That means the ones who look like they know and those who know that they don't know. Let's go to Luke. That's that was one of the things you referenced in the service today.
Luke what?
Luke 18.
18.
Yeah,
verse 9.
I wanted to go to one up on that verse. I don't know if. Never mind, Paul. Go ahead.
One up on what verse?
Well, on John, where he says, "If I have not spoken these things, they had." What does it say? He says,
"If I had not come spoken unto them, they had not sinned."
Yeah.
But now they have no cloak for their sin.
And that's where he put that light out, what I was talking about earlier. That's mm-hmm. where he spoke the truth. And it showed they didn't have no more cloak for their sin mm-hmm. anymore.
Right. A light exposes darkness, and that's uncomfortable.
Right.
So you got two choices. You can either persist in what you're doing, or you can turn. But if you're going to persist in what you're doing, then you need to somehow put that light out. And that's why you get the angry response. And that's why we have an angry response.
Absolutely. Everything is naked and open to the one with whom we have to do. You know, we can't hide from him.
And you know, that is the grace of the Lord, Dan.
Yeah.
I mean, working on us. That is the purging that he actually talks in the beginning of this, of John 15.
Right.
That's the purging that he does with us. Praise God.
And that's kicking the love. He's not going to leave you in the mess you're in.
Right.
He's going to bring
it. We don't have it. It's not even. Yea, he commands us to do it. But the reason he commands us to do it is because if we don't do it, we're not equipped. That's the strongest weapon we have.
Yeah.
Strongest. As Paul saying, 1 Corinthians 13, the greatest of these is
charity.
Love.
That's right.
Anyway. In Luke 18, which I keep going to the paper unit that's in front of me, and I'm not open to Luke 18 in that, and I have it up here on the electronic version. So,
18 what?
9,
verse 9.
18, 9.
So, never mind. I really want to continue on some of that subject. I just, I love
well,
it. Yep. Hey, you know, I apologize. Go, give me.
Let's exhaust you in John 15.
Yeah, really.
Sorry. I mean, geez, okay.
It's not working. Let's do something else.
Well, I mean, it goes back to that. I mean, you know, when they go... let's move on. I'm hitting...
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Come on, man. Because we've exhausted it. We've hit it. And I'm doing the same thing.
No, we're here.
that I should not be doing. So, look. We've hit it, you know, where Paul says, and it refers back to when Paul says, or in John, where Jesus says that I command you love one another because the world hate me. It goes back to that. I mean, that's our biggest weapon.
Yeah,
that's what we need renewal. They persecuted, they hated them, they persecuted the Church of Christ, the body of Christ, I should say, and in Acts you see it, and that's it in a nutshell. And I just. To me, it's just all. I love
it. Jesus, when he washed the disciples' feet, he said, I've given you an example. He said, you call me master, and you say, well, I'm your master. And you see how I've washed your feet. And this love that we're kicking around here is a love of choice, an agape love, but it's an essential love because the world's going to not like us. Our flesh is just the flesh. And I need you to wash my feet. I need the washing of the water of the Word. I can't get it somewhere else. If I can't get it from you, where am I going to go? I'm not going to make it.
You know, we were talking about lie not one to another. Yeah. You know, part of coming together. Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine. I'm just fine.
Yeah, everything's
just freaking fine.
Yeah, just everything's cozy. You know, I mean, part of this fellowship is, you know, lie not one another with each other. But I remember Sue saying. I remember Sue typing in the chat is, you know, saying, hey, you're okay. But part of that, loving one another, saying, this is what's been frustrating me. Or, hey, you know, this is what's bothering me. So you bring these things to the light. So you get reproved and renewed in the strength of love and the power of the gospel, what he's about.
You see this piece of lumber sticking out back here?
I can tag something behind it. I brought something.
I'm now confused.
Oh, you mean rip it out? I've been out there in the world where you rip this stuff out of me? Yeah. I get you.
And one thing that can distress me would be if I had a long-held idea and then somebody in the fellowship says, well, you know, this is not correct. But I've always found if I go to anybody and say, you know, I've always believed this and you're preaching that, or you're writing that, and to me this is not correct. I don't get it. I've never had anybody come back and say anything negative about that at all. The only response I've ever gotten would be, well, let's check that out. We can get you straight. And the reason I bring that up is because you're to fear the Lord But you don't have to be afraid to expose your own weakness or your sin or your lack of understanding within the fellowship. It might not be appropriate to say something in a group or around certain people, but definitely with the guys over you. I'll call Charlie up. Man, I'm telling you this because I don't want you to know. I can't believe how messed up I am, or I'm being told something somewhere, and it flies in the face of everything I hold true. I don't know what to do with this. And I've never had anybody, Charlie, Davey, anybody come back with anything other than, let's take a minute with that.
Well, clearly, this is because you're a dirtbag.
Well, that's pretty well. Puts me in the right company, I guess. But I don't want to remain that way.
Well, that's the point of you going to it. I mean, that's the point, and that's why we have disciplers. That's why we are called disciples, students. We're learning to get shed of these things continuously.
If you're going to wash my feet, buddy, I'm going to give you some dirty feet. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. And I have to be willing to go to the guys around me and say, hey, man, I'm dirty. I'm messed up. It's shameful. I mean, depending on what you did or didn't do, it can be just really embarrassing. But you got to be willing to do it. That's why I'm saying twice on Sunday, Wednesday night, church parking lot, handshake, smile. That ain't going to cut it for me, man. I don't come in here like, hey, I'm doing good. I just thought I'd see how you guys are. I come in here messed up. Typically.
I mean, you know,
we second that.
I go to Paul and Ricky and with issues, struggles, frustrations. And you know, there's ministering there.
Right.
I don't like that I have these things, but it doesn't defy the fact that they're there.
Right.
But we do get shed up. And either in prayer or truth or chastisement, or hey man, your perspective is all wrong. Or
but if you
know, it can be ugly sometimes, let me tell you. That's them loving you.
Amen.
That's right. And we get over it, we get past it, we get healed from it. That purging can be an ugly thing sometimes. But that's how, I mean, we love one another through these things.
And because I'm down with something, and I come and hand you a couple of dirty feet, of which I still have two, thank you, Lord. I hand you my dirty feet, and you wash me with the word, with love. Then, what is it? Was it Paul that said, my joy is you in the presence of the Lord? What is my joy or crown of rejoicing but you in the presence of the Lord? Something like that. And what you find is, as long as you don't come with, you know, the hair on your back standing up, you know, and my finger on the end of your nose, it's a joy. If I come to you with something that's plaguing me and you help me get through that, hey man, you're probably every bit as happy about it as I am. You got to put the time in, you got to get to know the people.
Yeah, okay. The thing is, as we referenced the way church is played today.
The way we have played church, I got to say it's not just them, it's me through a lot of my life.
Not saying it wasn't. I just said the way church is played today. And some of us are playing at it. But Jesus addresses that in Luke 18:9 and following. So.
You want to read it?
All right, I will. Mm-hmm. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. That is us. We walk around in this presumptive right standing. It at times where we're not in right standing. And I spent years falsely believing that God was going to treat me special. I was going to be a special case. I may be the only one he treated this way because I was that special.
Yeah, even though he said he's not a respecter of persons.
That's right. Well, you know, I try not to read that.
You're talking about walking around believing you're in a right standing, and you know where I'm going, man. I'm laying there in ICU all busted up and bled out and feeling poorly. And you show up and go, yeah, I was talking to Steve and Davey, and they told me to come down and tell you that, you know, if you died, you're hell bound. Well, I have to go.
have a nice day.
Yeah. Can you break this down? And then, but when I got a hold of Steve, I called Steve. Where he took me wasn't to the woodshed, although I will say the Lord took me to the woodshed. But where Steve took me in the Bible was Psalm 51. You know, the Lord is plenteous in mercy, and he sort of beat the hell out of me, if you will, with the love of God. So even in the chastisement and the correction that I'm honestly grateful to have gotten, the way it came across was I had those dirty feet we were talking about.
No, I was poking the donut.
See, yeah, no. See how y'all are? Oh, boy. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican.
You got to read that tire manager, publican.
Hmm?
Publican is the same as a tire manager, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
I just had to.
If I had something here, I'd probably lost it. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Now, the Pharisee is pretty pleased with himself.
Yeah, he knows the law and he's keeping it, essentially.
Yeah, including that part about thou shalt have no other God but me. I, Lord, your God, am a jealous God. That one, that first one.
Yeah, boy, Rick used to hammer me. I'd get on fornication and he'd go, well, yeah, you can see that idolatry is actually ahead of that in the list. Now, let's talk about where you're standing. I can't stand Rick Usler sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, there's
that light.
Yeah, there's a light.
There's that light.
I hate it when that happens. As frequently it does to me. So, the Pharisee stood up and prayed thus with himself.
With himself.
Isn't that interesting? This really wasn't... This wasn't a prayer to God. This was a soliloquy about how good he was and how thankful he was good. This wasn't even a boast to God. He was just sitting there talking to himself. So, you know, where was I? It was
11.
God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. And, of course, I would stop there and say, you mean forgiven?
Who was the prophet that said, I'm no better than my fathers?
Elijah.
So he just pulled himself out of some very good company with that statement.
Mm-hmm.
Because Elijah said, I'm just as other men are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was the attitude that God could work with.
Yeah.
Especially, you have to see that every now and then. You have to see, you know what, I'm no better than anybody else.
I look good in dim light.
You mean at night with the lights off?
that's my statement. Hey, baby, it's Tom Cruise.
We have 5'4" and all the man you can handle. But I digress again. Okay, thank you for that.
And then we can... Never mind.
Yeah, let's
I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican.
And the dude's standing next to him, the guy's praying out
loud. I'm right here.
I think Oh, let's I'd be the guy that I'd need to walk off for a second.
You know, you got to wonder, I bet, because the if you look at the response of the apostles, well, I guess, were they already apostles? The 12.
They were disciples.
They were disciples. They would say, like, Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you can't be saved. And they were floored, man. I mean, these are guys that had already been walking with Jesus, and when he made these statements, they're like, what do you do with that? And he says, this was not possible for you. God can work it out. And that's what, I bet you when this publican heard that, he probably went, yeah, the guy makes a good point.
Oh, man. Okay.
But here we are going to hit on, it's something that you said there, we're going to hit on how your righteousness can exceed the scribes and Pharisees.
That's right. Now you're running a ray of hope. I'm liking this.
But, see, the problem with...
I shouldn't say your righteousness, his righteousness exceeds
the righteousness. I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust. Let's see. Is this not one of the rulers that has Operation sacrifice sale of doves going on in the temple?
Yeah.
And they're sitting there
they're making
unjust weights and measures. It's stealing from the people who trust them because
they're priests.
They're operating under the temple's authority. Right?
And not only that, putting the loads on the people. And not just in the right there with the money, but just as far as burning them with bondage.
Mm-hmm.
That is not of the Lord.
You know, interesting, when Christ walked into the temple, says he walked in, I was just reading this thing, it's in Mark. He goes in, looks around, sees what's going on. I mean, this is the Lord of Sabaoth walking into his own house. And he didn't just fly off the handle and throw those tables down. He went out that night. It's like, I kind of wonder if he went out and sort of thought about it. He shows up the next day, and then he flat out cleaned house.
Mm-hmm.
Not, this wasn't, you see what I'm saying?
He had to go get a cat of nine tails or whatever crap he got.
And another, and one of the other gospels, he made that thing. Yeah, he looked at it, considered it. I'm going to do something about this.
That's right. So, anyway, he is everything he just mentioned on this list.
That's right. And doesn't even know it.
Yeah. He's still pretty pleased with himself. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publicans stand it afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner.
And here, here's where you see, I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. He's counting on what he can do to be righteous.
Right.
Checking off the list.
And it's not about what you can do to be righteous. It's about what Jesus did for us.
This was the offense. This was the offense to the rulers.
Yeah.
This was why they were offended. Now, Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. This is a truism that keeps coming back around. It keeps coming back around. It keeps coming back around. How can you love somebody else when you always think you're better off than they are?
Exactly. And that's what reminds me of Philippians.
Yeah.
Where he talks about let each of you esteem others better than yourself. And you know, we have David. you, for example, good one was Elijah that you brought up.
Yeah.
I am no different from my fathers. You're right. Talking about this is the same Elijah who just killed 400 prophets, called on the sacrifice. God sent a ball of fire down and consumed it and dried up all the water that was poured around about it.
And the prophets.
And the prophets. And the rest he slayed with the sword. You have David put a stone through Goliath's noggin. Yeah. Only one that had faith at that time, a boy, a shepherd. And David, at the end of all that, goes and says, Lord, create in me a clean heart. I'm guilty. So that you are clear that when you judge, I'm telling you, I'm guilty.
That's an interesting statement. Thou might be clear when thou judge.
He was putting no justification upon himself.
Right.
And you see the Pharisee, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I have.
Mm-hmm.
David said, I have no justification for what I have done, Lord. There's have no mercy excuse. On me.
No excuse. I can't offer any excuse. Nothing. Before a righteous God. All right, now we're going to go to the section you wanted to talk about. Let's go over to Philippians.
We're about.
Well, I didn't want me to talk about it. I wanted you to talk about it.
I see how you are now.
I just, you know, throwing out ideas to help you, Paul. Yeah.
Is that how it works?
Yeah. I digress.
You certainly do.
I love you.
If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, and I might add, there is, and there is.
Yeah.
If any fellowship of the Spirit,
and there is.
And there is. If any bowels and mercies, and there are, fulfill me my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. The same love. The same mind. The same purpose. Same goal.
Have that same love. I just think of John 15 again.
Mm-hmm.
Where he says, I command you that you love one another. Well, I look at the first one, I'm messing that up, but he goes, and greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. No greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's the same love.
And we were sitting there listening, reading.
That's what Jesus did for us.
We're sitting there reading about two people who went up to the temple to pray. And one of them could connect to that mind, that purpose, that love, because he knew what he was. And the other one had no clue. And was not, could not partake in any of that.
And he knew the reason why he could connect with that, Paul, was because he knew he did not have that.
That's right.
And he could be receptive at that point to receive it from the Lord.
And it's in the law. David said, sacrifice and offerings you don't have pleasure in, but a humble and a contrite heart you won't despise. And this publican had that humility and that contrition. It's not this should not have been a mystery to these guys. It's like Nicodemus shows up and starts asking Christ some questions, and part of Christ's response, he said, are you you're a ruler of Israel and you don't know this
stuff? We were talking about, though, you know, the bad press that the church gets that sometimes isn't, it's only bad because
it's true.
And, you know, if it's not true about you or us, then praise God, it's not true about us. We don't take offense. But if it is, then we need to get straightened out.
Amen. And to getting that straightened out with, like, the guy that was humble, God be merciful for me, a sinner.
Philippians chapter 2, yeah. Linda.
I look at that as, you know, he, just like David, had no justification.
That's right, and knew it.
And knew it, and had let any justification go. And he can receive that mercy and that grace and that love. And the same as just like you, you know, I know Davey has put this example out many times, and this is what I think of, is that dog with that old chewed up bone. Yeah. That's nothing. And you're trying to hand him a T-bone steak, but he won't let go of that bone first. And that's that Pharisee wouldn't, is not letting go of, well, I fast twice a week. I give tithes. These things to make himself righteous. He won't let that thing go.
So yeah, you know, it became the ultimate reason that they had to crucify Jesus. Because they were still not just pleased with themselves. They wanted all the other people to be as pleased as they were. They didn't have any. They weren't trying to please God. They were trying to look good. And whereas I've been to a lot of churches in my years. And there were some people there that were honestly concerned about righteousness and the Lord's business.
Right.
But they were in a body of dysfunction because they were by themselves. There wasn't one mind. There wasn't one love. There wasn't one purpose. There was a bunch of self-righteousness going on. And, you know, bless the hearts of the ones, because the ones that I had actually a spiritual communion with, I didn't have any trouble loving them, and I didn't have any trouble with them knowing that were it not for Jesus, they're toast. And but you have the Spirit bears witness. You know with whom you have fellowship and with whom you don't.
Right. Yeah.
And that was the story, pretty much church after church after church after church after church. And some of them were big shows, man, big productions, really elaborate. Deader than doornails. We don't ever get there. That's all I can say. You had something, Philip? You looked like you were trying to say something.
I was.
And?
Well, it's because they didn't have that same love. Mm-hmm. They were in the place of the Pharisee.
Absolutely.
And that's why. And then because of that, they didn't have the same love. They weren't of one accord.
You're right. Yeah, I've run into a lot of people that were real pleased with themselves.
Right. They weren't of one accord, and that's to please Jesus.
Yeah.
To do thy will, O God.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have the same mind.
Right.
As Jesus. They had the worldly mind, the Pharisee mind.
Yeah, well, the same mind is, amongst other things, it is, I'm here to die.
Yeah. Well, and then we go to that love, greater love than this, the man laid down his life for his friends, and that's exactly what Jesus did.
Absolutely.
And he walked it out perfectly from the start of his ministry all the way to the end, my will be done, but yours.
How many people, for the fear of that death, won't rise with him?
The death of self?
Yeah.
Well, you're talking about people that, in whatever fellowship they're in, they are the Lord's. They truly love the Lord. But then you have, in Jesus' parable about the sower, the cares and pleasures of this life, there are things that enter in that'll choke you out. It'll take your life in the end. And I have known, I've got an aunt, which Spirit-filled, has stayed in a large, very dead Calvinist-type church for decades, And there are others like her in that church, and they see themselves as a seat of hope in the church. But you know what? Paul, where was that? He went into the temple. Some received him, most didn't. The ones that received him, after some span of time, he pulled them out of there. So you can't, light has no fellowship with darkness. At some point, if you don't separate yourself, you're going to get choked out.
Mm. Yeah.
And I'm thinking too, talking about pride, how did Lucifer fall? He saw his own beauty, right? He decided he should be worshipped just like God. And what this Pharisee's describing that we started off with, he saw his own beauty, the beauty of his own righteousness and his own works. He didn't understand, or would not understand, that he was dwelling in his own pride and iniquity.
That is correct.
Where are you going to pick it up?
Three.
Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And this is how Paul could be made all things to all people. He could be made a minister and actually minister the gospel to people, because he just saw himself as a major screw-up who had been going around killing the Lord's people. You know...
Yeah, how low can you go?
He got handed his life to him. He got knocked off a horse, blinded, And told, you're pretty pleased with yourself, but
here's what you're going to suffer for me.
Here's what you're going to suffer for my namesake. This is how it's going to work.
And when you, where it says, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. I'm sorry, you're not going to love. As the theme we've been talking about between the Pharisee, you just
trust me. That made him low.
Right.
He got it.
Exactly. And you can't. And that's how he could love and be all things, just like you said. Because you can't love one another unless you're esteeming them better than yourself.
Well, that's probably one good thing about maintaining close fellowship, too. Because, you got tripped up pretty good, last year?
I get tripped up all the time.
No, but this... Yeah, okay. Well, you went through a period of a couple of weeks where you were really struggling and kind of withdrawn. But when you came back, I didn't have any problem talking to you about whatever I felt like I needed to talk about. And part of that is because I know Christ in you. That's what I'm seeking. And I know you too. And I know you would say the same of me. I mean, that kind of leveling of the ground, you've got people that have positions, callings, but they're still men like we are. You follow what I'm saying?
It's not about the person,
because
we're all sinners. We all fall short. Exactly. It's not about the person. It's about God's way and their position. Is what you're talking about. But we all are sinners. And more is the fact of this. We have disciples and people that are over us in the Lord because they have been there. They have walked this out so that they can help us walk this out in the Lord. Not because they achieved some great thing, because they... anything. No, they've been there. They've done that. They walk this out. And they're there to love you, to help you walk this out.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's comforting. When you do have the need and you go to somebody. I mean, Christ himself, now true, Christ never sinned. But Christ was tempted in all ways as we are. But if I go to you and I say, hey man, I got this and that going on, I know that you're going to come back with probably somewhere in there is like, I really know what you're saying because I've really been there. Or maybe you even are there in the moment. It's a comfort.
I'm going to give the Paul Muller translation of verse 4.
Okay.
It's take care of each other.
Yeah. I like that.
Exactly what it's about. Take care of each other. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we already talked about that. This mind was, I came here for to do a work. I am here to save you. I am going to die and rise again. For you. Who are so really treating me as like a dirt bag right now. And I'm having, you know, I'm having to do this anyway. Yeah, I am having to love you anyway. And I do. And I will go to the cross. This kind of determination, this kind of focused on the goal, whereas, you know, what's the worst thing that's going to happen to you? I'm going to die doing this? Woohoo! Praise God. I'm going to die anyway. It's like...
reminds me of Peter, where he's... Reminds me of Peter, if you had that right attitude. It's like, you know, they're going to carry away where you wouldn't. You know, when you were a child, you did what you wanted.
Yep.
Now, they're going to carry away and take you where you don't want to go. And he's talking about his death.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, you know... I mean, my perspective of that was, so the Lord's still dealing with me.
And you know, that's written, incidentally, in John. And John is probably writing that 20 years on the other side of that actually having been carried out.
After Peter's death?
Yeah.
It had to be a comfort to Peter, because if you die in the Lord's service, that means that you made it. And I'm sure Peter at that point was pretty upset.
Well, he talks about being ready in 2 Peter. He knew it was coming.
He knew it was coming, but at that point he was ready, though.
Yeah.
You know, and the Lord protected him through all those things in Acts. The Lord protected him. And at that point, I believe he was perfected in love, and he was ready for his departure.
It might have been even further out from it than that, because I think the earliest people think that I've read, John was like 85, and the date, or the most think that Peter was martyred on was like 60. So, it could have been.
But you see where Paul was perfected in that as well. You know, departure's at hand, you know. I've run the course, I've fought the fight, you know. And then you have... Also, you have Stephen, which was a deacon. And he says, you know that he was perfected in love, because after they did that, they were stoning him. And he looks up and he sees Jesus and he says, you know, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. So at that point, you just...
Before the hour gets away from me, let's finish, because what we're talking about here is let this mind be in you, and this attitude, this pursuit of the goal that we're here to do, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. This was something that he kept saying. You know, when you see me, you've seen the Father.
Yeah, but you know that you're reading the King James there. Thought it, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But if you go to the other translations, it'll say who being in the form of God thought that equality with God was not something to be grasped. And that's a good example of why you need to be in the King James. Way, way different.
But he made himself of no reputation. Lowly. Sir, he esteemed others
better than
himself. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men.
Not just man, fallen man.
Right.
He endured all the temptation.
And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even a cross death.
Which is shameful.
Absolutely.
You're open
criminal,
and
criminals got cross death.
Right. You were beaten and it were open for everybody to see that you naked and hanging.
Naked and hanging. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him. And I take and leave Philippians here in my head and go to Colossians where it says, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, we will be revealed with him in glory. That is our life.
Amen.
We're not losing our life here. Is it ring back any other places in the Gospels where Jesus says he will come after me, will try to save his life, will lose it?
Many times.
I pick up this cross and follow me. This offense that it's not about me.
It says you
about
can't
Jesus.
Even right. It says you can't even be his disciple unless you do this.
Well, you know, we kind of blew through the last few verses of that, but that's the mind. And if that's the mindset you have to carry for others, is so what if I lose my life for this stuff? So what? So what if I die in the service of other people? So what if I die serving the Lord? So what? In fact, praise God.
Rather be there than him not knowing you.
That's right. Let him, you know, you be...
It's a win.
You be lowly now.
Win.
And let God exalt you.
Amen.
That's what this is all about. Jesus was lowly for a time. And then God exalted him. And he is our pattern. Well, maybe it all did come together and make sense.
Well, praise God.
We are at the end of our time here. We got like a minute and 30 seconds maybe.
And didn't Scott say he's going to be up this week?
Scott's going to be up. He's going to be up next.
All right.
I am going to the music, and we'll talk to y'all next time.
God bless everybody.
God bless y'all. Bye.
God bless.